Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I am extremely pleased to say, joined by one of my colleagues at the Center for Security Policy, the director of our Threat Information Office, sometimes guest host of this program, frequent contributor and extraordinary resource for all of us at the center and in the fight. He is Kyle Scheidler. In a previous incarnation, he served as the director for research and communications at one of our friendly collaborators in this battle space, the Endowment for Middle East Truth, better known as EMET. He has written extensively on many of the subjects that we talk about, including for us at the center's own website. You can check him out at elsewhere. Kyle Scheidler, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Frank, always a pleasure to be here.
I wanted to get, first and foremost, your take on the victory laps that are being run about the defeat, as it's called, of the Islamic State in Mosul. Characterize the state of play as you see it, both with respect to the Islamic State there and, for that matter, in neighboring Syria, but more broadly, Kyle, is this a time for champagne corks to be popped?
Well, you know, there's an old saying that when the battle is over, it's time to tighten your helmet strap. And that's really where we are when it comes to Islamic State, but more importantly, in the fight against jihadists generally and in the fight against Sharia supremacism. So the Iraqi government is happy to declare victory in Mosul, which was a hard-fought victory. But the reality is that the fight is still going to go on. One of the things that's most concerning about the events following the Mosul victory was the U.S. reaction. The U.S. reaction was to applaud the Iraqi government, the Abadi government, which of course is a government very, very close to the Iranians, to explicitly thank the Iraqi militias for their role in liberating Mosul. So you have the U.S. officials applauding a popular mobilization forces, Iranian-led, commanded by a designated terrorist, according to the U.S. This is deeply problematic. It's been part of the problem that our entire campaign against the Islamic State has faced, which is that it has largely relied on Iranian-backed forces as ground troops that we were providing air cover for. Now, we did have other forces that were allies that we could rely on, notably the Kurdish forces and the Syrian Democratic Forces on the Syrian side. But this reliance on the Iranian-backed forces is a serious problem, and the fact that we would applaud them for their role is really tone deaf.
Well, and the problem beyond simply working closely with providing an air force in effect for the Iranians, of course, as you know so well, Kyle Scheidler, is that we are essentially enabling the Shiites in Iraq, backed up massively now by the Iranians, as you say, to help destroy some four of the major cities of the Sunni population of Iraq. That can't go well over the longer term. And in addition, Kyle, is it fair to say that there has been a total failure to date to address the ideology, as you say, I think it's best described as Sharia supremacism, of the Islamic State that will surely manifest itself in one or more other ways, even if we are absolutely successful in liquidating this particular manifestation?
Well, you had a good example of that, given that during the Mosul campaign, you also had Filipino troops fighting an Islamic State takeover of a small city in the Philippines. So this really is a global jihad and a global jihadist movement. And if we don't understand that, we are not going to be successful. And if you look at our statement following the fall of Mosul, it looks like we're prepared to repeat the same mistakes we repeated earlier. You know, we praise the Abadi government. We call on the Abadi government to lead the reconstruction of these Sunni areas and to secure these Sunni areas. If they do that with Shiite militias, you're back in the exact same position you were in when Islamic State conquered these territories, in large part because the populace preferred Sunni jihadists to Shiite jihadists.
The difference being, of course, that most of their cities have been destroyed utterly in the process. Hey, Kyle, speaking of this problem and failing to understand it, President Trump has, as you know, called for these extremists to be driven out of the countries, the mosques, the governments of the Muslim world. In response, it appears, the Saudis, Egyptians, the UAE, and others turned on Qatar as one of the countries that has been very much involved in that business. The president has applauded it, and yet his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, seems to be, well, undermining the president on this at every turn. Talk, what's going on there?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the White House and the State Department are not on the same page when it comes to what's going on in Qatar. You had Tillerson travel to Qatar and signed a memorandum of understanding for countering terrorism with the Emir of Qatar, who is at the center of this entire conflict. And he praised Qatar as being the first state to respond to Trump's call in Riyadh. Now, that is exactly opposite of what President Trump has said, that the actions by the GCC against Qatar were part of his call. So this is a direct opposition to the White House effort on Qatar. And it's noteworthy because it's not the first time. This MOU on Qatar, which is currently being used by the Qataris as a major influence operation to try to take ground and clear up their image, was something that was being worked on for weeks by the State Department, even prior to the Riyadh trip. But their decision to declare it now is particularly timely because it gives the Qataris cover for a leak that came out earlier this week from the Saudi side, where they pointed out that in 2013, the Qataris had signed an agreement where they promised to stop supporting terrorism, stop supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, and stop supporting other media outlets to undermine the Gulf states. So the Saudis and others have already pointed out that the Qataris cannot be trusted when it comes to the documents that they sign. And then immediately we have the State Department come out and sign a document with Qatar. It makes no sense.
Well, and then just to make it an even more pointed poke in the eye, as I see it, Kyle, the Qataris engaged in literally the same moment, a new commitment to Hamas in Gaza, a designated terrorist organization, according to the State Department itself. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. And the question I have is, will President Trump tolerate it? And if he does, I fear that it will be only to further undermine his positions on just about everything else. Hey, quickly, very, very quickly, Kyle, tell us about this gal, Linda Sarsour, speaking of Islamist influence operations. What is she up to, and who has she now acknowledged is one of her mentors?
So Linda Sarsour, who your audience may be familiar with as sort of a perennial Islamist troublemaker, was at the Islamic Society of North America, a Muslim Brotherhood Front organization, annual conference. And while she was there, she got dinged by the conservative press for encouraging a jihad against President Trump. But one of the things that the media didn't notice, but which is even more significant, is that she declared that as her personal mentor was a man named Siraj Wahaj, an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, and a man who is on audio tape calling for armed jihad.
Yeah. When he talks about jihad, presumably his mentee is thinking that kind of thing, too, not simply speaking truth to power, as her apologists would have us believe. Kyle Scheidler, there's so much more to talk about. We look forward to doing so with you again very soon. In the meantime, thank you for the great work you do as the director of the Threat Information Office at the Center for Security Policy. You can check out his writings there. And where else, Kyle?
You can find me quite often at The Federalist. I have a piece on Linda Sarsour in The Washington Examiner that's worth checking out as well.
Good. We'll be talking with you again soon. We'll talk to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Till then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Thank you.